On behalf of the Northeast family present here this morning in this auditorium and those who are joining online, we thank you for being our guest this morning. We are grateful for our members. We are grateful for those who have traveled long distances to be with us. As Rob mentioned during the greeting this morning, things are different, but just because things are different doesn't mean that we can't learn to be greater thanksgivers. And I noted last week as we explored this topic about becoming better thanksgivers is that there's a difference between being grateful and being thankful and then being a thanksgiver. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. So I'm going to start by asking you this. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I encouraged you last week, those who are here and those who are viewing online, I encouraged you to take every day to take a journal, something that you can write on, and write three things that you are thankful for. And I did that for the purpose of trying to get you and myself and others more in the gratitude mindset, because as I noted last week, studies have shown that people who are actively engaged in gratitude, not just in being grateful, but in showing gratitude, they are happier people, they have a more positive outlook about the future, they feel better about how things are going in their lives, and so being grateful is a God thing. So I don't know what you came up with or have come up with on your list. I put one thing on my list that I am grateful for just a couple of days ago, 20,000 times a day. 20,000 reasons to be thankful. Can you think of what that might be? Breathing, taking a breath. Think about it. It's something we really don't think about. Most of us, most of the time, we just do it automatically. But our breath is a gift from God. I think back to the creation account in the book of Genesis in the second chapter, and there it says that God formed man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And so it's with that breath that we express thanks to God. We take it for granted. We take a breath, we take in oxygen, we release carbon dioxide. It's a wondrous miracle what happens within our bodies as we take in that oxygen that supplies our body with oxygen, and processes go on that turns our food into energy for our cells that helps us to live and recreates things within us when we're hurt or injured. 20,000 breaths a day. And so it's with that breath that we offer our thanksgiving. What did Thanksgiving look like to you? Once again, Rob, this is something that I was planning on talking about in my introduction. Did your Thanksgiving table look anything like this? Those of you who are viewing, maybe it looked like that. Maybe it looked a little bit different. But one thing that is clear, whether your table looked like that or whether it looked something completely different, there's something missing there. And what is it? It's a people. It's a people. And so I want to encourage you to remember that Thanksgiving isn't just about me, as I mentioned last week. It's not just about ourselves. Thanksgiving is about not only giving thanks to God, but it's giving thanks to the people who mean so much in our lives. And that's what really, when you think about it, from my earliest memories of Thanksgiving, it's not just about the food, even though the food's important. I'm reminded that I've never, ever, and there were some times growing up that we had some difficult times. We went through a few years that were pretty lean growing up. But I never had to worry about where I was going to get my next meal. I always had enough. But I know more than anything else, it wasn't about the food. It was about the people. And so as I look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 71, as he speaks of God who has worked in his life, he not only talks about what God is doing in his life, he talks about how it relates to others. To this day, I declare your marvelous deeds, and I declare your power to the next generation. Thanksgiving and praise is about thanksgiving and praise to God, but it's about thanksgiving together. It's about what we experience within our families. It's about what the children of God under the Old Covenant, the children of Israel, as they celebrated those feasts, it was about God first and foremost, but it was always including in that feast or that celebration, it was about what they experienced together. So, when they had the Passover feast, they told stories. They passed down how God had worked in their nation's history, and they talked amongst themselves within family how God was working right now and with confidence what God is going to do in the future. And that's one reason I've always looked forward to this Sunday. Because we have heard through the years from scores of individuals who have shared their stories and have declared the wonders of God, not just to God Himself, but within the family, within the community. So we're going to celebrate something in just a few minutes when we celebrate the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very much, in some ways, very much an individual thing, but it's what we share together. So this morning, we are privileged to have Rob Collette share some thoughts with us about how God has worked in his life in a difficult situation, and he's going to declare to us how God has done that. And then following that video, we're going to get to hear from Brian Wyatt, one of our deacons. We are grateful for Brian and his family, for Christy and the kids. And he's going to share his own perspective of gratitude as well as we declare praise together.
Good morning. Gratitude. When I think of gratitude, I think of thankfulness. I think of happiness. I think of humble appreciation. I think of joy. I think of that blessing that you didn't anticipate, but yet you want to share with everyone you love. This morning, I want to share a short story of deliverance from an impossible situation, or seemingly impossible situation. I spent the majority of my career working in retail management. And at the time, I was working for a company that I've been with for just about 10 years. And have you ever been in a situation before where things are just getting tense, stressful, ugly, and you kind of really see that it's just spiraling? It's going south, and you're not really sure how it's going to turn out. I mean, it's one of those situations that regardless of how resourceful you are, or how good you are at being able to navigate challenging situations, that it's just, it doesn't seem like it's something that's gonna improve. And that's pretty much where I was. Because I've been in this career for quite some time, I mean, I looked kind of half-heartedly at doing something different, but really never really committed into that because I was very dedicated in the position I was in. I found myself on January 20th of 2017 in the position of not having a job. My company had decided to restructure and decided to go in a different direction, and that direction did include me, which I have to say was truly a relief. I'm not going to say I was excited about it. There have been rumors, so I kind of had an idea that, you know, I knew that something big was a brew, and I knew that it could potentially happen, but really didn't see it happening to me specifically. So it wasn't like it was an incredible shock, but at the same time, it was a big change, a very big change. And I quickly found myself stepping out of an impossible situation that I could not see the outcome of, and stepping into the wilderness of uncertainty. Because now I found myself in a spot that I'd never been in before, to be the sole provider and without a job. I'm not going to lie, they can be kind of scary. I will say that I felt at peace, though. Oddly at peace. I prayed about it for quite some time, because I knew that change was on the horizon. And it was still a tough time for me. It was really tough because historically, I'm a very independent person. And come to find out, I think I was very controlling. In fact, I think, I think I was a very controlling person. I've improved a little bit in that perspective now, but I always was the problem solver. I was always the one who was resourceful, always the one who had the answer or would find the answer. And I was finally in this position where I really didn't have that option altogether. And I learned quickly how important it was for me to just leave it at God's feet. And I know that's something that we say, but honestly for me, I don't think that I had really ever done that before. I truly thought that God was very busy doing a lot of important things, working with people who truly had problems, and that he really surely, I didn't need to be bothering him with the small things that were, you know, coming across my plate. And I kept reading and praying, and the more I read and prayed, I realized that I needed to lay it down, and I needed it to leave it with him. And the moment that I started doing that, I realized that I became closer and closer to God. And my life really started to change. And I was completely at peace, believe it or not, with my period of time while I was unemployed. And even though I was working hard to find another job and to find another opportunity in a different career, in the end, I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared about it. I wasn't upset. I was very focused, but I felt really confident and at peace because I knew that God was going to take care of it. I know, as an example, my mother is a horrible worrier, and she was, you know, trying to drive me crazy about really being concerned about the job piece, which, you know, I was concerned, but I knew that it was going to be fine, and I kept telling her, you know, God's got this. You need to just continue to pray about it. It's going to be fine. I knew that he had something important for me. And I realized that if I just stepped back and if I was just still, that I would be able to see what God had for me personally. And little by little, as time went by, I finally had an opportunity that popped up. I had applied for actually a job to work with on the Board of Elections as a poll worker. My next door neighbor had done it for years, and I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. I've got some free time. I'll see if I can apply for that. And they called me. I was very surprised. And on top of calling me, they actually reached out to me to lead the polling, to manage the polling facility, which I was kind of surprised by, to have my own polling location. Because I thought, well, I don't know anything about, you know, the electoral process. I mean, I know how to vote, but beyond that, I wasn't very familiar. I mean, I could lead people, sure, but anyway, it was something that I learned, and it was so exciting. I had an opportunity to meet so many diverse people, and it was a really cool experience, a pretty neat experience. And I left there, and I had applied for a job with UPS to work as a UPS driver. I did that seasonally and got that call shortly after the electoral process was over. And that was also a really unique experience. I learned quickly that it's not nice to order all of the heaviest items that you possibly can and have them shipped to your house because you don't want to carry them home from the store. Because somebody has to carry all that. And that somebody was me. I will tell you also, your UPS drivers, all of your delivery drivers, they work really hard. And there's a reason why they're in much better shape than the majority of us are. Because, yeah, they are always on the move. But again, another environment where I had a chance to meet some really neat people. And just really opened my eyes to a broader section of the world than I really even realized, since I had been in my own world for quite so long. And finally, I had an opportunity to work with JBS, one of the top food producers in the world. And that's what I'm doing now, in buying meat for JBS. And I learned through all of these experiences that, you know, God had a purpose for me. And all these experiences, even though I had to wait 10 months to find the right job and to find myself in the right place where I could truly make a difference, it was all worth that wait. And there was a purpose behind all those experiences with the individuals I interacted with over time. And how they impacted my life, and hopefully I impacted their lives a bit too. I realized that there was a call that God has for me and for you and for us as a body, all together. All that we just need to do is listen.
Good morning, everybody. Always interesting to be second at bat when the speaker before you did a very good job. So, anyway. It's my first time up here to talk about being thankful for things. It's the first time I've had the honor of doing that. And I have an unusual thing to be thankful for. I am thankful for hiccups. I'll let that sink in for a second. Specifically, I am thankful for the anxiety that drove them. That's going to sound very strange, and some of you who've known me for a long time may know about this, but I'm going to take you back to about 2005. In 2005, I had been out of college, out of UC, for about 2 years. I had unfortunately lost, had lost both of my grandmothers, and would lose my grandfather. It was still a few years before he would pass. I had watched my older brother get married, and that was the first of about 15 weddings I went to between 2004 and 2005 by myself, because I was very, very single. Now, that is funny. You can laugh. It's fine. That is significant because I have not wanted for much in my life. I have many things to be thankful for. I have very few things I have ever wanted. But from whenever that happens, we watch the human maturation videos in school, figure it out. From whenever I can remember, I wanted to be in a relationship. I wanted somebody that I could have a relationship with. And it was, you know, of course it's an immature thing when you're little, but the older you get, the more you just want somebody around. And by 2005, that had become a very focused thing. And watching my friends getting married off once a month plus didn't help, to say the least. I was in three of those weddings, by the way. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2, that it is good for a man not to marry. And, you know, of course, the reason for that is that frees him up to think about godly things, to think about ministry, to think about reaching out to people, to think how he can be a positive force in his community. And that is, you know, and that is a good thing. And he says in verse 2 that there's no immorality in getting married. That's a good thing. And you have, you know, once you get married, you have a duty to your wife. And the other reason that's unspoken about that, you know, and in my case, that had become a driving, you know, that need for relationship and reaching out and had become a source of anxiety for me. If I can be honest, it was borderline a source of depression. Because at this point, I had watched my best friend get married in 2005, I was in that wedding, and I was living in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, which, if you guys don't know, is about 30-ish minutes from here, and most of the people in this church who I'd known for almost 20 years lived up here in this area. So I was a long way from anybody. My family is on the other end of Ohio. I'm originally from Canton. And so I was a long way from anyone. And remember, I mentioned, you know, once you get married, you have a duty to your wife. Well, my friend was a good husband. So overnight, I lost my golf buddy. I lost my hangout PC game buddy. And he was my main friend in town. So I was not only single, but now very much getting lonely. I don't remember when they started, but I developed a habit of hiccups. And these would just rattle off real quick. It wasn't the like, oh, I have hiccups, let me take a spoonful of peanut butter and I'll be fine. And it became pretty clear that often they were linked to whether or not a pretty lady was in the room. To the point where my friends could tell if there was, because all of a sudden Brian is having hiccups. Yeah, this is a true story. And at first, it was what you think it was, a playful quirk. It just, this is what Brian does, haha. You know, even I could kind of laugh it off. But after a while, it became clear that it was a sign of something deeper, a sign of a bigger problem. I tell people this, I don't know where I would have been at the end of 2005, if not for two things. The Clifton Church of Christ had a college ministry. Now, for UC, they could not meet on campus. More often than not, we met the minister's apartment down in Clifton, and that was a time for me, because more often than not, it was me and him. It was one of the few times I've really done deep Bible study with, like, and it became, you know, man topic focused. And it was the first time I'd really had that time to study with somebody. And the second thing on that note was the men's class here at Northeast. That class forced me to get out of my comfort zone. I'd never really taught class before. Now imagine, as a shortly out of college grad, you have to teach a class full of men who are, well, let's be honest, pretty much twice your age. For my first class, there were at least three elders in class. So I don't know what, and I remember saying this the first time I had to teach a class, I really don't know what I have to tell you that you don't know already, so here goes. But those two things really got me through 2005 and really forced me to grow in ways I probably would not have otherwise. Now the other thing, and this is why Thanksgiving is special to me particularly, I was sitting at my brother's house in Broadview Heights, Ohio, which is just south of Cleveland, let me take one step backwards. So, the hiccups, yes. I was in my doctor's office and rattled off at one point 10 hiccups in a row. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. My doctor just stared at me. He said, "Does this happen to you a lot?" I said, "Yes, as for years." And he said, "That's not normal." I said, "I know." and so that, like I said, it had become a sign of things that were not great. And he actually had prescribed me for antidepressants, which was admittedly something I was not enthused about. And turns out it didn't help. But what he did prescribe me did. He had suggested I take up therapy, which led me to Tim Tripp was the family minister here at the time, and he was doing one-on-one counseling. And in the course of our our meetings, you know, I talked out a lot of the issues I had, particularly the relationship thing came up. He pointed me to a Church of Christ singles website. I can't tell you how I would have found that any other way. As it turns out, as you might guess, because it was mostly aimed at college age people, everybody on there is from south of Kentucky, just so you know. Pretty much. Which brings me back to Broadview Heights in 2005. I was actually sitting at my brother's house because we were having Thanksgiving at his house, and I got an email from a girl in Arlington, Texas, who thought that I would be interesting to talk to. Would you believe I stared at that email every day for 2 weeks without replying? Yes, 2 weeks. I could not think of something to say. Interesting to talk to, maybe not. Thankfully, when I replied, she remembered who I was. She had not completely lost track of me. And I'm going to make a very long story very short and fast forward to November 23rd of 2006. I had convinced that girl from Arlington, Texas to come to Cincinnati because for the first time I was having to stay in Cincinnati for Thanksgiving because I was on call for work. And she was not feeling very good. She'd gotten sick while we were here. We were staying at my apartment, Fort Thomas. And I somehow convinced her to get dressed up for dinner for two at my apartment because I had sat her seat in a very specific place. And at the end of dinner, I said, Christy, there's something for you in the cabinet behind you. And she pulls it out, and sure enough, there is a box in there and a bag that I had placed there while she was sick that week. And I apologize because I said, I've never done this before. Will you marry me? Thankfully, she said yes. So, why have I gone all around this story to tell you why I am thankful for hiccups? Why I am thankful for anxiety? Quite frankly, I've kind of mentioned it a couple times, I got pointed down several paths that it is highly unlikely I would have ended up on otherwise. I got pointed to people who became very important in my life, who pointed me in other directions that I would not have been on otherwise. I met the love of my life, and I don't know how in the world I would have otherwise. I am not grateful for all of the trouble I went through. Well, I have to say, I did not enjoy it at the time, surely. But I want to point you out what Paul says, if you would turn with me, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. Give me a second. Excuse me. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking in the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from being conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So again, I dragged you here, metaphorically speaking, to explain to you that I have many things I am thankful for. I have many blessings that I already had, abilities, gifts that I had, but I can't brag about those. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to tell you that God put people in my life through these hard times, through all this anxiety, so I could stand here in front of you today and tell you how great He is. That's it. And what I want you to walk away from with all this, what I want you to take home, is that we are going through a time of great anxiety. We have no idea what tomorrow's going to be, next week's going to be, next year's going to be. But I hope, I pray, that there are people in your life that are helping you through this, that you are reaching out to, or they're reaching out to you. And I pray that, if not, you are the person who is in someone else's life to help them through this time. So that we can all tell somebody, maybe not up here, but we can all tell somebody how great God has been for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thanksgiving together is about praising God together, but it's also about us sharing in those burdens and those struggles and those victories together. In the same psalm, Psalm 71, it says in verse 20, "Though you've made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. Though I've seen trouble, many, and sometimes bitter, as I and you declare God's work in our lives, as we are encouraged by Brian sharing his story related to anxiety, depression, something he struggled with, Rob via the video about losing a job and the challenges he faced losing work and not knowing what the future held. Isn't it nice to know, as a family Thanksgiving and giving thanks together, that God will restore us and He will bring us up?" And as Brian shared with you, God's going to see you through. He's going to see you through. I can't remember if I've shared with you, I guess over the past year or so, I think I did, but it's a dream that I've been having since the onset of quarantining and COVID-19 and all the frustrations and difficulties that have been associated with that, but they're blessings too. I have a recurring dream, and it comes in different forms, but basically the gist of the dream is I want to get somewhere. I want to go home, or I need to get to church or somebody's house and I'm lost, or I say, oh, I need to, and then I wind up somewhere else, and it's frustrating. Have you ever had a dream like that? The old version of that was when I was a student and I dreamed that I'd signed up for a class and I hadn't gone to it all quarter, and I've got to go to that class, and I have a test tomorrow. Why haven't I been going? It's that dream. It's about wanting something, but you just can't get there. Whatever that there is for you, it's nice to know, whatever that burden, whatever that care, the words of Jesus, our Lord, when He says, Come to me, every one of you who are burdened and weary, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourself. Trust me, follow me, give your life to me, Jesus says, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to make a way. Now and forever. So that journey may take some twists and turns, but the fact is, we can still be grateful, we can still persevere, and as we give gratitude to God, we give thanks to others who work in our lives, and we just keep moving on. So, keep trusting the Lord. Don't give up. If you're viewing online and you're facing some really hard things in your life right now and you don't know what way to turn, know that while you may have trouble, God is going to lift you up and He's going to see you through. And Jesus is going to give you rest. That may mean that you need to give your life to God. I know we're practicing social distancing, but I assure you, if you want to commit your life to Jesus, be baptized into Him, we will take care of it anytime you want to. If you want to explore things more deeply, let us know. We want to be here for you. Let's all be thanks givers.